Love C.S. Lewis. I don't know if anybody has read any of Lewis's stuff. Any C.S. Lewis fans? Oh my goodness, you poor, poor people. You've never read C.S. Lewis. It's more than just Narnia. This guy was an Oxford don. He was a theologian of the highest order. His ideas of God and stuff are presented within the framework of what the world could grasp. And I was reading through it again this week. I don't know if you ever heard of Screwtape Letters. Anybody? The 80s version. Because you can't shut the 80s off. There's no switch for the 80s, man. The Screwtape Letters are a fictitious piece of work about an older demon who's teaching younger demons in class. As a matter of fact, there's an uncle and a nephew. And so he's writing to this younger demon who's assigned to a person. Okay? And so as they're going along, there's an education happening. I want to read just a little bit here because I think it's pertinent. So the old demon writes to the young one, whose name is Wormwood. He said, "The best thing where it is possible is to keep the patient from the serious intention of praying altogether. When the patient is an adult, recently converted to the enemy's party, like your man is, this is best done by encouraging him to remember, or to think he remembers, the parrot-like nature of his prayers in childhood. In reaction against that, he may be persuaded to aim at something entirely spontaneous, inward, informal, and unregularized. And what this will actually mean to a beginner will be to put an effect in place as to produce in himself or herself a vaguely devotional mood in which real concentration of will and intelligence have no part. This is exactly the sort of prayer we want. And since it bears a superficial resemblance to the prayers of silence as practiced by those who are very far advanced in the enemy's service, clever and lazy patients can be taken in by it for a very long time." So the devil doesn't want you to stop praying. He wants your focus changed. He doesn't care if you come to church or not. Go to church. But notice the people around you who are imperfect. Go to church and feel like you're better than the people around you. Go to church and stare at the floor when the altar call is given and just convince yourself that you're going to have 75 more chances to accept Christ. You see, it's a twist. If he came in too hard, we'd get scared and we'd run to the cross. And so he's very subtle, isn't he, Micah? With the things we watch, with the people we hang with the ideas that are around us. And the world applauds this. You can have Del Monte if you want it. And you can call Dintymore demonic if you want. We don't care. No absolutes. This is a twist. And Paul talks about this time and time again in the Word. The twist keeps us focused on the what. That person whistles when she talks. Did you notice that? I noticed that the pastor's shoe was squeaking when he was doing the sermon. The twist keeps us focused on the what. And here's a couple areas. Rules. I don't necessarily like that rule. That doesn't jive with who I am, man. That doesn't apply to me. The speed limit. Have you ever been around when I drive? Confession time, brother. I like to go fast. If there was not a speed limit, I would speed everywhere. I would. It's Melanie's fault. If she did not have that Taurus with that supercharged engine, I'd be fine. The open container law. I talked to a guy earlier this week. He says, "I think the open container law is stupid." I said, "Oh, really?" After his fourth DUI. "Yeah, I think I ought to be able to drink a beer when my wife's driving. So that's what I do." If the rule doesn't apply to me, or if I get to the place where I think the rule doesn't apply, I just cut it out. You know what I'm saying? And the world will tell you you can do this. If you don't like it, leave. If you don't like this, change the channel. If you don't like your spouse, you can divorce him. You can get another one. They applaud. Do what you want. Be who you want. Medication. If two is good, four is better. It's America, baby. Right? The doctor doesn't know how bad I hurt. If he knew how bad, if Jesus were here, Jesus would take three. Because he knows, the scripture says he knows all about us. So I'm sure Jesus would take three. Tax deductions. Russ's. Tax deductions. It goes like this. The twist is that if I deduct this, even though it's not allowable by law, I can donate that to the church. I could do a lot of good for that youth program the preacher's so hung up on. I could give an extra $1,000 if I deduct that. God would want that, wouldn't he? You know what? If Jesus were here, if Paul were here, he would deduct it. I know he would, because doesn't it say somewhere in Acts that, you see the twist? That rule, that decision. And it's dangerous, guys, when we come to this. It's okay if you don't like Doritos. I don't care. There's a lot of things we have choice over. But when we carry that attitude and that twist to here, we get in very dangerous waters. So God's word teaches us that it's not about the what, it's about the who. Bob O'Reilly, Teenage Wasteland. Another great song of my youth, rebellious. Something about in the streets with our children and our feet. I don't need no forgiveness. I don't need to be forgiven. It's about not about the what, it's about the who. It's not about the who as much as it's about the who. This is what we miss when we get caught up in the what. That picture just tears me up. This is what you're being distracted from. This is the goal of the enemy. To keep you from encountering the crucified one. Romans, the book of Romans, we're going to go there real quick. What does Paul have to say about this? Because when we carry this attitude to the scripture as a church, as Christians, we can get in trouble if we pick and choose our scripture. I like that scripture. I don't really like this scripture. I like what God has to say about forgiveness, but I don't like what he has to say about penitence. I like what the scripture says about being in heaven for eternity and singing and kicking it with the saints, but I don't like what it says about adultery. See what I'm saying? We get concentrating on the what to the place that we lose the forest for the trees, spiritually speaking. This is what Paul said to the church in Rome. Oh, nice. There's strong and then there's army strong. See, the government's got its paws in my Bible even. Paul says, let everyone who is be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God, and consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what he has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. I hate this passage. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Didn't Jesus say that? Render to Caesar's what is Caesar. Give to God what is God's. That's what Paul's using here as a source, by the way. this is tough. Because I don't agree with the government all the time. Did you know they're trying to take my handguns? They're trying to restrict me to a 15-round clip. I disagree with that. That's why I've got several 30s. They're trying to take away health care. They're trying to make me do this. They're trying to make me do that. This is a tough passage. If you really sit and you dwell on what Paul is saying here, this is tough. I have a hard time with this in some aspects. There's some things I just disagree with. And yet God has spoken through Paul, and he's spoken to the church over many centuries about how we're supposed to respond. If you look at this passage here, chapters 12 through 15 are about rules for living the Christian life. So when Paul says, then let everybody, as he does in this passage, he's not talking to the world. Who's he talking to? Yeah. He's talking to Bill. And he's talking to you. And that's a hard encounter in my chair. I think I need to watch Billy Graham again. Because obviously my heart isn't right. Obviously I've got some issues then when I come to the Word of God. You know how easy it would be for me just to say, you know what, I don't believe this. This doesn't ring true. And does this ring true in your experience? Submitting to the... Have you looked at who we have? Have you looked at the government? Seriously, God, you know, if Jesus were here, he would rebel, wouldn't he? Jesus didn't fight it. He submitted himself. He appealed. Look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He who had everything that needed nothing emptied himself of everything and became nothing. As an example for how we are to live. It's a hard one. What did Paul do when he was accused, when he got in trouble? What did he do? He got a bunch of guns and spears and they stormed the gates. Baby. No, he appealed to Caesar, didn't he? What did Daniel do? What did Daniel do? Do you remember? He was in prison for a while and then he came into power underneath the king, and the king had these gods that he wanted him to bow down to, and Daniel said, I ain't finna do it. Or finna, depending upon which side of Chicago you live on. The present past indicative of funna for you English lit people. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to draw a line in the sand. He didn't do it by force. He did it by taking a firm stand for his convictions. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Now, are we to submit spiritually if the powers are unspiritual, or they tell us to go against God? Are we? No? Paul isn't saying that we're to yield ourselves in spiritual matters, particularly if those authorities are not fit to lead us spiritually. But he is saying something here that gets twisted, and that's why we're looking at the passage. Paul is speaking, you know, and again, the thought goes through your head, well, Paul didn't live in 21st century America. He has no idea about bad government. But if you go back and you look at the government when Paul was around, you know who was in charge? A dude named Nero. Do you know what Nero did? Nero would kill you for being a Christian. There were state executions for people who would not bow to the emperor. And Paul has the audacity to imply that we're supposed to exist within that framework. Yeah, he does. He does. Paul takes the twist out. Paul's message is not optional. And that's why the passage is hard. Look at his words here. You got in verse 1, you got the word let, which is in the Greek a hortatory subjunctive. Okay? Hey, I spent $82,000 on it, you gotta hear it. It's a command. Let. Do it. How high and how far, Paul? Verse 2 says, therefore, as my brother Sam has so eloquently said before, when you see the word, right, Sammy? You want to look at what it's there for. Paul's building a case in the scripture for something that takes the twist out. Verse 3 says, God has ordained the authorities in the sense that they are to govern. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. But those people are in place so that our society functions. The word tells us another place, we ought to be praying for our leaders. I don't have to pray for him. He supports abortion. I don't have to vote for her. She wouldn't raise the speed limit. We ought to be a praying people for our authorities, people. Because they need it. Our White House needs it bad. For such a time as this. Look what it says here in the scripture. In verses 5 and 6. When we submit ourselves to God's program, we honor Him. That's what Paul's saying. Don't just do it out of fear, which is why I don't speed, because I don't like those tickets. My wife doesn't like them. I can't buy new guitars. I get in trouble. I get my pudding taken away. Don't just do it because you're scared of being punished. But what does it say? As a matter of conscience. God isn't concerned if the speed limit is 70 or 80 or reasonable and prudent, which doesn't mean reasonable and prudent to everybody. That's fairly subjective too. What He is concerned with you encountering is His Son, Jesus Christ. And we get so caught up with this, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that, this doesn't affect me, this is stupid. I can pick and choose what I want, and we do it with the Lord, and we do it with His Word. I do it. And God is saying, be very careful. Because you see, there's a twist. But the twist gets unstuck when we encounter Christ. When we come in contact with the crucified, resurrected Savior, when we focus on Him, the enemy gets scared. Because his agenda is to keep us on the what. I don't agree with that decision. Did you hear what the preacher said? That was bunk. Not Micah, the other one, the fat one suit. Can you believe they decided to do that? I don't agree with that decision. I'm just going to do it. I don't like that. God says, wake up and recognize that He's ordained government. And He's ordained certain people in our life for our own good. And that by doing that, and by serving, and by recognizing things, we're honoring Him. That doesn't mean we have to be pacifists. That doesn't mean that there's no wrong and there's no right, because there comes a time when you have to stand against the darkness. The church has yielded far too long. Our prophetic voice. The church needs to take the prophetic voice back, because we're the only one that have it. That was a quiet amen. Are you guys with me here? Breathe, preacher. We still got communion. Doing right honors God. And when we honor God, set up our conscience is clear and our witness is powerful. People come to the cross because of how we live. Of the decisions we make or decisions we don't make. When we don't, we're dishonoring God. It's not about, guys, it's not about the what. It's about the who. Recognize the twist. Recognize the fix. And how are you going to respond to what Paul says? Are you going to be like John? You're going to be like Paul? You're going to be like Jesus? How are you going to deal with the twist in your life? That's the question that we have. Micah, you ready?